Well, welcome everybody. What an electric start to the morning. That was quite awesome. Did some of you see those awesome moves on the skateboard ramp? That guy is famous throughout the world in a few years' time. We simply know him as Peter. I was mesmerized yesterday afternoon at Parkhurst Park watching you, buddy. Wow, you landed some very impressive moves. He's fearless because he's passionate about something and he's pursuing it with everything he's got. He's not dabbling in skateboarding. He's done it more than once, I think. Again and again, he's finding what he wants to do in life and he's doing it. Tabs is hooking us up with a guy in Cape Town who wants to launch a skateboard movement here in Joburg, and we're going to hook him up and that guy up, and Peter's going to add value to him and a movement that's going to happen. Find your passion, go after it, perfect it, and the world will know your name. A new Tony Hawks. So we've been busy, and it's a bit awkward if you drop into week 8, you know? It's like you arrive, and we're in a series, week 8. But we're very kind at His Youth. We always rewind the movie. So even if you come in an hour late, we stop and we rewind, and then we just play you some highlights. So you're going to get up to speed. How about that? Should we do that or not? Do we love Him? Do we care for Him? So we're going to do that, His family. So in the very first week, we came up with this little thing, and let me give you a card, which was what we call the replicate circle. Wait, there we go. Why don't you just pass it to you guys? Well, and on that circle, and you would have seen one handed out in church today, church is asking us to pray for a couple people to be able to share what's happened to us with them. And we'll unpack all this in detail just now. And so we did this. We call it the replicate circle. I'm reproducing my life. Not photocopying, really, because I don't want you to all look like me. That's terrible. That's just freaky and creepy, okay? But if I've received something, I want to pass it on to you so that you can have that. You were, you know, helping to show some skills there, and maybe someone could learn from that. So you're reproducing yourself in a couple of weeks and the year to come in a whole new generation of skaters, okay? Replication. And so what we do is we identify 3 people around us and we write their names on our replicate circle under the pray with passion. And we begin praying. How many of you can pray? It's not difficult, is it? It's just speaking. If I can speak to you, Peter, I can speak to God. Because it's the same principle. I might view Him a bit differently, and I don't ask Peter as many things to bless me and to give me things, you know? And I don't worship and adore you, but I'm having a conversation, I'm relating. So we start there. Then when we are praying a while, God starts to bring that person across our path, and maybe we're at school with them anyway, which is ideal. And then I can move their name onto the Pursue with Love line. And I cross their name out under pray, put them on the pursuit with love, and I begin to love them, care for them, look out for them. They come to school on a Monday. They look sad and heavy, and I'm going to come alongside them and say, is there something that I can pray about? You look like you've had a tough weekend. Have you ever asked that sort of question of someone, and they don't say, I'm fine. They say, oh, this was heavy, you know? And then you just let them speak. And at the end of the speaking, they already feel 60% better because the burden has been shared. Every time you share a burden, it gets easier to carry. And at some point when you're doing this with your lost friend who doesn't yet know Jesus, maybe, maybe not, you're still getting to know them, you begin to persuade them with truth. You begin to share some truth. And that's what this series has been about. So we've been praying with passion for someone, we are pursuing with love, and we are, I've forgotten the last one, what was it again? Oh, that's right, persuading with truth. Well done. Okay, stay on your toes, because this is your day. A lot of revision happening this morning. Tabile taught us how to start a conversation, a spiritual conversation, not, hi, how you doing? You know, one of those creepy boy-girl relationship questions. Not quite that, but a conversation with someone like, wow, you got some real moves on the skateboard thing. How long have you been doing that?
A year and a half.
And have you ever had a tumble and fallen?
Yes, a lot.
How desperately do you want to be like Tony Hawk's one day?
Like I say, 100%.
Like 100%. Is he like the standard?
Yeah.
And like, if you're not quite measuring up, then what do?
I don't know.
Practice some more? Maybe try some new things? Watch some videos? He's on YouTube. Very big. Do you mind if I share something with you, Peter?
No, there's no problem. You can share.
You know, I was into skating when I was young, too. I showed you my knees yesterday, how scarred they are for my days. And I never attained the height that I wanted to, but I desperately wanted to. And it was almost like the standard of the other guys on the Bluff in Durban were too far ahead of me. And I dabbled in so many other things like cricket and swimming and boogie boarding that I never put in the time. I never reached that standard. Permission to get personal. May I? In my relationship with God, I never quite meet that expectation. I read once that I need to be perfect. Jesus prayed that. We were talking about this at youth. You know, Friday night I've been telling you that I go to that youth group. Well, they told us Friday night that we must be perfect. And it was like my skating. I was trying hard. I was doing flick-flacks maneuvers off the wall. And I was falling on. I nearly broke my coccyx. Do you know that, Peter? I was like so damaged and broken. But I realized spiritually now that I could never make that, even with practice. Even if I jump higher, God's standard is too high. But one day while I was skating, Tony Hawk's came into the park. I kid you not. And Tony came and said, hey, you're doing it wrong. You're riding goofy. Change it around for you and you'll be able to do my maneuvers. And I still fell once. And he said, no, change that technique. Tony came, entered the competition on my behalf. He skated that whole thing like stickant. And I was just amazed because I knew him. My friends thought I was perfect. It's like that because Jesus came at a certain point and he did what we can't. And you can have that. You can have a relationship with Jesus like you want that relationship with the hawk man. I'm just saying. You know what I mean? And eternal life can be yours. Can you see that I've gone from the known, and that was a bit spur of the moment, not really rehearsed and thought through, but it's doable, isn't it? And I left just the skating and I went into another place. Part of my life that I don't always speak about because it's awkward at school, right, with my mates and friends. But I can actually transition and have a spiritual conversation. Is that what you taught us, Tabs? Am I being faithful to what you taught that Sunday? I believe more or less. Okay. There was some other technical stuff like ask, admire, and admit. We also learned that we can actually know the gospel and we can know it so well that we can share it with others. We actually learned to use the word gospel as a way of sharing. And those of you who are here know that gospel, G-O-S-P-E-L, stands for God, our sins, pain, everyone, life. Now, the words on their own could still be a bit confusing, so we fleshed them out into six sentences. God, what did he do? Created us to be with him. Okay, he wanted an intimate relationship with us. Secondly, O of the gospel is, sadly, our sins separate us from God. So God created us to be with him. So Tony said, hey, come Mark, be on my same level. My inabilities separate me from that standard, and I know I'm not there. So my sins separate me from God. It's like it puts a wall between us, a hole, like a valley. But I try hard to get up to God. I can't. I can go to church. I can put on my Sunday best. I can say the right things. I can even fold my hands together and pray the Lord's Prayer because I can find it in Matthew 6. But those things, good as they are in and of themselves, they don't earn salvation. Going to church doesn't actually do it. It's a very good thing to be encouraged and part of the family, but it doesn't do it. Oh, Mark, this is depressing news. I thought there's good news. Ah, there is good news because Jesus, what happened? Paying the price for sins, Jesus died and rose again. Let's say it together. Paying the price for sin, Jesus died and rose again. That's the good news. Jesus didn't die because the Romans had a bad day and wanted just to string someone up. He came and laid down his life for us, and we sing it in our songs so often. And why did Jesus do that? He did that so everyone, when you see the word everyone, it means everyone. Who's not an everyone? Put your hand up if you're not an everyone. So apart from Genevieve, okay, everyone is able to have eternal life if they trust in Jesus alone. And life with Jesus starts now and lasts for eternity, forever. And how long is forever? It's ever. It's deep, huh? You get deep stuff here at youth. So that's the gospel story in a nutshell. It's that God created us to be with him, but then sin happened. And then we try to get our way back to God, and we just couldn't. And God sent his son Jesus to die for us and rise again and to pay the price for our sins, to open the way back to God. And so eternal life becomes a possibility. To as many as receive him, he gave the right to become sons of God. That's from John chapter 1, verse 12. And we'll quote it just now as well on a slide. And maybe I want to pause there for just a minute. Because maybe you haven't had the chance to do that. Kind of grew up thinking God had grandchildren, because my grandpa was a pastor sort of guy. My dad was the church treasurer. So I thought that I'd get to heaven's gate. I'll knock on it or ring the buzzer. I'm not sure if it's a knock or a buzzer or if it's Bluetooth. And I would like get there, and then God opens the windows like, "Who are you?" "I'm Grandpa Bill's grandson." "Don't you know Bill?" "Okay, then don't you know Laurie?" "That's my dad." They were like big in church, like big. And my mom was the organist. God's like, "I do know Bill. He's here. I do know Laurie, and I know Hazel." And they were having an, in fact, your mom's leading the choir right now. They're singing "Holy, Holy, Holy." You should see it. It's so awesome. Ah, where you going? Where you going? Step back, buddy. You're not on the list. Like, what do you mean I'm not on the list? You haven't received Jesus as your Lord and Savior. You didn't take the gift. Jesus paid for the sins of everyone. Everyone's sins are covered, but not everyone has downloaded it and taken it for themselves and made it their own. Only when I reach out my empty hand and receive the gift of eternal life does it become mine. Until then, I'm lost. And I'm probably need to be on Peter's list. You need to be praying for me and pursuing me and persuading me. And maybe you're sitting here this morning, you're like, "Dude, that's news to me. Like, I ain't heard that before. I was told that if I'm just here and chill, part of the thing, it's cool, everything, God's tight with you." Well, this is the entrance. This is how we get in. I'm going to pray and give you a chance maybe to do that and say, "Lord, I want this free gift. It's the greatest thing you'll ever do in your life." So let's pray. Father, thank you for what you did. What you did in creating us, in creating a world for us. But Lord, it all got messed up. We disobeyed you. We went our own way like sheep. We have gone astray. And Lord, we try to get back. We try to do good deeds, try to make it on our own, even try to keep the Ten Commandments, and that didn't help. We broke those by the time we were 12. But Lord, we realize this morning that Jesus came and died for us, and there can be life eternal when we say, "Jesus, what you did on the cross was for me." And right now, I want to give you a chance. I'm going to take those six sentences, and I'm going to pray them as a prayer to Father God. And you can join me in saying it out loud if you want, even if this is not your first time thinking this through. And it goes like this. Dear God, I thank you that you created me to be in a love relationship with you. But God, I know that I've sinned. I've done wrong. And I want to do right, but I do wrong. And I've never had a moment of saying, God, I'm sorry that my sins separate me from you. And today I've heard the good news that paying the price for sin, Jesus died and rose again. Thank you that I can receive salvation as a gift. I can have eternal life. So right now, I put my faith in you and I receive salvation in Jesus' name. And thank you that life starts now and ends in eternity and never ends. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. You know, maybe that was a moment for you. Mario's got a really cool little bright orange booklet, and I want him to give you one. If that was a moment, okay? Either a, yes, I understand that more now. He's going to walk around and just like offer one on each table if you want one, and it'll remind you of what happened, and it'll give you 5 ways to grow your relationship with Christ. So just do a half hand raise on the side of your body there if you're embarrassed. But remember, Jesus was kind of unembarrassed about us, wasn't he? On the cross with his arms open, dying for us. That will help you just re-walk through and grow that young relationship with Jesus. So the need for me to share what I've got with someone else was unpacked in this week, last week. And in that week, as Alison shared, I think we got a good idea of why and how to go about sharing the gospel. And I brought a really, really young guy into our midst today to show us how we can share our faith. Are you ready for Austin? He's not very old, but here we go.
My name's Austin, and I've been playing with this girl named Hope in my backyard. Well, she didn't believe in God. She kept on saying mean things about him, saying he wasn't real, stupid. I was like, Hope, you can't be like this. You be like this any longer, you're not gonna be able to go to heaven. You need to ask Jesus in your heart. I tried to tell her that God's true, and she just walked away from me and went by this plant, and we have a big tree that she sat by. Well, I went over there and told Hope, you can't be hiding from the Lord. You gotta ask Jesus into your heart. And then she said that she wanted to ask Jesus in her heart. I said, I'll tell you how, and well, I said just repeat after me, and so I prayed with her, and then she became a Christian.
Oh, how sweet is that? I mean, 6 years old, he's concerned about his neighbor, and he doesn't allow the rejection to throw him off, and she said, I want to receive Jesus. What would happen if you happen to remember GOSPL and you've started a conversation, someone on your replicate list, and you're sharing Jesus with them, and they turn around and say something like that, could you help me be a follower of Jesus? Like, what would you say? Just wait, I'm going to call Pastor Debbie, or I'm sure Nomalanga will be able to answer that, or maybe Mario, or definitely Tabile, or Alison for sure. No, what if that's the moment? Okay, so ask the person next to you, play that out, and see what they would say if that happened to them. So that's what this morning's about. So if there was any hesitancy in you saying, I'm not sure, then I'm hoping to be very simple, very descriptive, and give you a really good tool to be able to know what to do at that point, right? And it's about asking certain questions. So I've gone, God, our sins, pain, everyone, life, the person wants to receive Jesus, now what? Simple, ask 2 questions. Before you just rush ahead and say, okay, close your eyes, firstly, does this make sense to you? Does the gospel make sense to you? Did you understand what I just shared? Because, I don't know, maybe the answer is no or yes, and we'll come to that in a minute. Secondly, you want to ask, depending on what they say there, so is there anything holding you back from receiving Jesus as your Lord and Savior right now? And to that, they could say a couple different things. So let's unpack those two questions. If you ask the person, does it make sense to, they say no, what do? Explain it again. You go through it again. Maybe starting with a question, what was difficult? Here's what they might say. I don't believe there is a God. And then you need to back up. And you need to say, wow, I hadn't really thought of that. You mean there are people on the world that don't believe there's a God? Let me go and do my homework and come back and find out how to actually share with you. And then you can go and you can Google it. Type ask Mr. and Mrs. Goggle. You could Google that, really, you could. Or you could go to a leader, or you could find a book, or you can get the answer they need. So you can't just rush ahead. That's a major difficulty. They might say, whoa, I have to go speak to my parents because this is my faith. Then you maybe have to slow down a bit and work with them. If they say yes, because sometimes God brings people across our path who he's already working with. And if the answer is yes, then you go on to question number two. Okay, so is there anything holding you back from receiving Jesus now as your Lord and Savior? They can do one of three things. They can reject. They can like, ha, that's just fairy tales, man. Like it makes sense, but I'm too young. Wait until I'm 60. And then I'll do it, because now's the time for being young. Secondly, they might have some questions. And thirdly, they might accept the message and be ready to continue. I get these three things, or we get them, from a passage of Scripture where Paul is preaching and he's telling people about Jesus risen from the dead and being the Savior. Some of them sneered. Which one of those three things is that? Reject. Some of them said, we want to hear you again on the subject. In other words, we're not quite convinced yet. Can you come back tomorrow and speak? I'm sure he said, yes, you will. That is question, second one. Then some of the people became followers of Paul and believed. That is the accept part. So three things could happen. Some will reject the gospel and mock you, and so you need to be strong. Who's ever been mocked for being a Christian? Well, it happens, right? We get laughed at. We get scorned. But guess what? It's part of being a Christian witness. It's kind of like Jesus said once, take up your cross and follow me. And by that he meant, remember the cross? It wasn't really a fun afternoon walk in the park picnic type thing. It was terrible. Everyone who wants to live a godly life in Christ Jesus will be persecuted. If you're just floating down the river, you're just going to be like floating down the river. But if you're swimming upstream, it's tough. You're going somewhere. You're on a journey. Secondly, this is nuts, crazy. Count it an honor to be mocked for Jesus. Really, Mark? An honor? God blesses you when people mock you and persecute you and lie about you and say all sorts of evil things against you because you are my followers. Be happy about it. Be very glad. For a great reward awaits you in heaven. Wow. I don't know about you, but I'm quite favorable towards rewards in heaven. You know, at least if I got crowns that I can throw down at the feet of Jesus. You know, maybe there's going to be like an upgrade. You know, we all like to upgrade. Who doesn't want to go up from the 5 to the 6 to the 7 if it's cameras? You know what I mean? We want to upgrade. Rewards, wow. And remember, the ancient prophets were persecuted in the same way. Shouldn't be any different. So what do? We treat our persecutors with love and respect. We don't get angry. We don't curse them. We pray that God will bless them. Whoa, tough, right? But God has promised to bless us. So what do I actually do? How do I respond? Stay calm and speak softly. Don't get into this big argument and shout at them, what do you mean the Bible says that? I'll show you the Bible. That's not really going to earn friends and influence people. Ask more questions than you shout answers. Which leads us to, what if they've got some more questions? This is where I need to be sharp, okay? They might want to find out more. So I'm going to realize that people need time to process and think, and I can't just railroad them and rush them into that. Maybe this morning some of you sat here thinking, I hear that, it makes sense, but give me some time. And I pray you have time, because you can't guarantee your life, you know? Generally, we live on into a good old age. But we've been to a number of funerals connected to this youth group. A girl that was on that wall was buried after committing suicide. There's been some kids from Greenside. I'm getting tired of going to teenage funerals. I don't like doing that. It's not the nicest part of what I do. I want my kids to bury me. I don't want to bury my kids. You know what I mean? But life is fraught with tragedy. And those moments, we live at a high-speed era. There is things that happen. Some people need time to question. I'm not going to back away and give them 6 years. I'm going to do what I can to keep the relationship going, try to help them find the answers. And I'm going to pray for them. Pray for all people. God wants all people to be saved and to come to knowledge of the truth. All people. A little word, but it means a lot. Let me rush to the practice time because you need to practice. Thirdly, some people might accept. And so, be strategic. If someone's ready to receive Jesus right away, then you've got the ABCs that you can do with them. Everyone know the ABC? Not really. We mention it once on a Sunday in the series, so I'll take you back through that. People need to be helped to accept Jesus as their Savior, just like we paused in the beginning of this message and gave you a chance to respond. People need to know they can receive Jesus as their Savior. And I took you through that prayer. And the reason why I wrote that prayer this week, people have written things over the years called the sinner's prayer. It's not magic. It doesn't save you, but it expresses the truth of salvation. And what I've done, which is maybe a bit unique, is I've taken those six sentences and written it out as a prayer. And you know the six sentences now, I believe. There's a handout. There's a few more copies here if you don't have it yet. And you can turn those six sentences into a prayer. Hey, if I can do that, you can do that. You are South Africa's brightest young things. Onto you? I see that when I look out. I see that. And you can do that. If we help him to accept Jesus, we want to help them belong to a church. Belonging to a church doesn't save you, but Scripture says it's important because it's family and we fellowship. You're having a hard day, I'm going to come alongside you. You're having a good day, I'm having a hard day, you're going to come alongside me. We're going to use our gifts. We're going to worship together. I mean, did worship downstairs touch you in some way this morning? I suspect it did, you know, at some level. And thirdly, we're going to have people commit to the cause. The what now? This cause of making disciples. It's like we have something to fight for or to do or something to give our lives to. Go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them and teaching them. So why don't we practice right where you are? Take turns sharing the gospel with each other and ask them the two questions and see where the conversation goes. I'm going to give you that big fancy flowchart that took me way too much time to illustrate, but I hope it's going to help you. We're going to post it onto the Sunday WhatsApp group. So if you're on that, we don't normally put images on that group just to keep it light on data, but I'm going to post it out, small version of it, and you'll be able to keep that maybe on your phone on the side and say, you know, once you're in a conversation with someone, and then you're going to know kind of what to do. And so in your role playing with each other, the person could maybe choose any way to go. So Peter's going to ask you, and you're going to, at some point, he's going to say, well, now I've shared the gospel with you. Do you understand this? And you're going to say yes or no. Then he's going to ask you, depending on that. Okay, everyone understand what we're going to do? It's your chance to eyeball the person next to you and pretend you're at school and you're actually doing this. Okay? You can kind of fast forward through the six steps of the gospel because we want to deal a little bit more once we get to the yellows. But if they don't understand, then you want to reshare it again. Okay, so you've got about 7 minutes and then we're going to be closing in prayer. Go. How many of you are feeling quite confident? Anyone else? I could maybe do this. Because we have a fantastic opportunity next Sunday morning. Bring techies. Because we won't, you know, it gets quite stuffy in here in spring. So we're going to have an awesome opportunity on the streets around us next Sunday in groups. So there'll be a Nomalanga group. She'll have a couple girls, for example. There'll be a Genevieve group, a Debbie group, a normal Mario group, maybe Tabile's group, my group. We'll have a group of three or four of us. And we'll head off to Nando's or we'll head up to Motherland, you know, there. We'll go to the corner cafe and we'll find someone and we'll start a spiritual conversation. Yeah, the eyes are getting big. Like, Mark, you're kidding me. And it's a short time. We might only get to speak to one or two people. And guess what? You won't be forced to do stuff in your group. Okay, you're not going to be forced to do things. So the more confident people in the group will make sure there's some people that are already confident. And who's up for that? I am. Now, you cannot come next week because I took pictures and I know who you are. So if you're not here by 10 o'clock and you hear hooting at your house, there will be an Uber there to pick you up. And the Uber won't go. And it'll be Uber Black, not X. It'll be top of the range, Mercedes C-Class. Okay, paid for by Mario. So we'll see you all back next week. If you don't have your name on the WhatsApp group called Sunday Youth, I'll be sending out that picture just now. So on Debbie's table and on another table, on Christelle's table, put your cell number and your name. We'll add you onto that. You'll be able to have this. You can practice. There's a few more copies of these with the gospel outline on it. You can take it home and learn it. So here's what I'm going to challenge you to do this week. Keep praying. Pray every night at 8 o'clock. Pray with us on Sunday, Tuesday, Thursday. If you're on that WhatsApp group, join us for prayer. Pray, pursue, and persuade your lost friends. Then start spiritual conversations. See if you can transition the conversation like I did with Peter. Know the gospel. You might want to revise, so take an extra one of these pages home if you're unsure, or check the Facebook page. Share the gospel with someone this week. Maybe you can practice before next Sunday. Go home and share the gospel with your mom or your guardian or someone else or a friend. Practice asking the questions. Got it? We need to go. So let's pray. Lord, thank you that you've given us eternal life. You've given it to us to share and to pass on to others. And Lord, it's nerve-wracking sometimes. Sometimes we're unsure. But thank you, Lord, that in this space we're learning how to be confident, and as we practice next week, still in a safe environment with friends and leaders, we'll be able to grow in our confidence to tell others about you. And so thank you, Lord, for what you're going to do in and through us, in Jesus' name. So do join us next week to engage people in their world, not on our property. God bless. Have a fantastic week.